I'm John Aran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, Tara.
Did you have a good weekend?
Yes, I did. The kids were all in town and the grandbabies and everybody. So we spent a little time at the Greenville Zoo.
Oh, nice.
Went to the zoo Saturday morning and had a hot, sweaty, but nice time with all the animals and the kids watching them. So that was fantastic. Yeah. So had a good weekend. We had a little double birthday celebration. Both my daughter's birthdays are in August. So we had a chance to get everybody together and my wife's side of the family, my side of the family. So, yes, it was a great weekend.
That's fantastic. You know you've done well when they still want to come home and see you.
Absolutely.
So want to spend their birthdays with you. That's great. One of the things I love about the Greenville Zoo is I love how the lions call to each other. Did you hear that? They go, you can hear them across the zoo.
I hate to tell you this, but the lions are no longer there.
Are they no longer there?
No, they both of them had, the two males apparently had, which were brothers, I believe, had some type of genetic issue. They were getting up in years, and they had to be euthanized.
Oh, no, because so I saw lions. Them not too long ago.
So otherwise, but the giraffes were cool.
Yeah, they're cool. Okay, so lions, tigers, giraffes, no, but a lot of violence maybe at the DNC.
That's what it's possibility there. Possibility.
Oh my gosh, when you have the head of the largest police union in Chicago saying officers are holding their breath in fear of these DNC protesters. Wow. I mean, that was not a thing we heard before the RNC convention. 100,000. That's an army.
Yeah. Yeah.
And groups that have a history of violence and expecting to be able to commit violence flooding in to Chicago. Flooding into Chicago. How bad is it? So bad. Headline, Axios, a liberal publication, House members fear DNC violence. So Democrat Congress members afraid of their own voters.
Not only that, but you've got businesses that are shutting down and boarding up the windows like there's a hurricane on the way.
Yeah. And you know, to find out about that, you have to go to the local news because the national news is not going to tell you that. They are anticipating potentially, because that's the history of these groups, these businesses being attacked, and you have to board up. They boarded up 12 separate business areas of Chicago. The boarding up has been going on by the city for days now in anticipation of Democrat voters showing up. And why is that? Because they've been taught that they are above the law. And very specific ways, for instance, what they've seen in recent last 2 months, Lee, is that when they commit real acts of felony level violence, they have the charges dropped by Democrat prosecutors. So they expect to be able to come in, tear down whatever business they want, and go home unmolested by the poor police who have to babysit them, have to deal with them. And so in anticipation, they're boarding businesses. They didn't do this at the RNC.
And the police probably fear prosecution if they do anything.
That's what they're terrified of. Can't fight back. Can't stop the violence. But what do you do? When you have people who believe they're this entitled to commit violence, and the Democrats themselves, House Democrats, Axios had this article, attending DNC are being advised not to book hotel rooms in their own names because their own voters might be able to find them.
Yeah.
And not to engage with protesters if confronted. They're saying have somebody else book the hotel room in your name. They're already looking for you. They've been calling around asking for specific Democrat House members, trying to figure out what hotels they're staying in. From Axios, one House Democrat told Axios, we are very concerned about our personal safety and that other lawmakers are as well. And again, that law enforcement is telling members not to go to certain areas because they could expect violence, unquote.
So you have to remember, Tara, it is the Republicans, the white supremacist MAGA supporting Republicans that are the threat to democracy.
Right.
Got to remember that now.
Right.
Yeah, right, right, right. Sure.
Didn't need all of this, though, to get through the RNC.
No, you didn't see anything like this. No.
And then the greatest irony, which is hilarious, they have erected a wall. Local reporters covering this, using snow plows to block routes, erected a wall to keep their voters out of the DNC.
I thought that was not humane, Tara, to build walls.
Well, it's terrible.
I thought walls didn't work.
Well, for, you know, for the serfs and peasants like us, we don't get walls. We don't get to be safe. But they get to be safe behind walls. So all of that going on, going to be very interesting to see how this is all managed. Here's the problem the Democrats have with their voters. I mean, going back to this, if you look at the protest in D.C. a few weeks ago, had between 5,000 and 7,000 people show up at Union Station. If you read the fallout from that, got violent.
Yeah.
When the police tried to arrest fellow protesters, they beat the police and dragged the protesters back. Had yet another series of violent demonstrations in Washington, D.C., defacing property, throwing red paint, supposed to look like blood, outside the White House, getting violent again. What? Charges dropped. So these protesters have already been weaponized with the expectation that Democrats have created on their own in these blue areas. Well, if I go do something violent, beat the cop, whatever, shove them around, hurt somebody, deface property, I expect that I am not going to be arrested. That's the expectation they have been kind of groomed with by the Democrat leadership. And now they want to come to the DNC and have those same rules. I get to do what I want. I tell the cops what to do. I beat the cops if they arrest us and all the charges get dropped later, which do not be surprised. They will. They will get dropped later. Well, that going into this kind of thing creates more violence because they think they can get away with it. Because why? The Democrats have taught them they can.
Exactly.
And now they're facing the monster they've created.
Yes.
In all seriousness, though, I don't know if this will end up amounting to violence. You've got this weird situation with the Democrats. As Politico reported, these groups that got violent all summer long on the campuses, they're partly funded by Iran, but they're also partly funded by Joe Biden's own donors. So you can't make your donors mad by arresting the thugs they have sent.
Yeah.
That's a problem, too. And so who's going to get the beat down? The cops are. The cops would get the beat down. And they were already at it over the weekend as these people are getting into place. This video out all weekend of the, you know, DNC protesters. They're all Democrats. That's not us. Shouting, piggy, piggy, go back home, mocking the police to their face. I mean, this is who the Democrat Party is. Take a listen.
Piggy, piggy, go back home.
Honestly, that the DNC, that the Democrat Party does not openly support terror groups like Hamas. Hamas is a designated terror group by the State Department. That's what they want. And that is reasonable to them. And they're willing to use violence to get it. Lee, what scares me looking at this, 100,000 of these protesters descending on the DNC, many of them from pro-Islamic groups, some of which have had connection to terror orgs overseas. You know, we're watching the protesters who are also the DNC base, the Democrat base, at the same time confront them. What if they were ever on the same page about something?
Mm-hmm.
That's an army.
Yeah.
That is an army. What if we wanted to speak in public? What if we wanted to hold a rally? What if we wanted to hold an event and they turned them on us? What if they were on the same side instead of, you know, opposed to each other? What would that look like if you can turn out an army of 100,000 violent protesters in a city? It's something Republicans really need to contemplate going forward. Right now, they're at odds with each other, but they could very easily be on the same page and use that army against us. And I don't know how you control that, even in a red city. So watching the Democrats weaponize with violence like this is a scary demonstration of power. And, you know, this is what the GOP reaps when they don't say anything either about the Democrats becoming increasingly violent and tolerating violence by their own base.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What would it sound like if Kamala Harris had to sit down for an actual interview? Well, she won't. She won't. And she's trying to run the clock down without answering real questions. Here she was over the weekend when asked, hey, you know, when are more details of your economic plan coming out? When will you tell people?
So in the weeks to come, I will address in greater detail my plans to build an opportunity economy.
Okay. The voting starts in the swing states in 21 days. Why we agreed to that, I have no idea. We're idiots, but we did. In the weeks to come, she's not going to tell you. She's not going to tell you. All she's got to hang out, what, 20 days now? That was yesterday. In the weeks to come, when? Well, after you've already cast your vote, I'll tell you what I really stand for. That's what I'll do. So Gretchen Whitmer, the crazy eye governor of Michigan, poor thing, I don't know how much more that she's going to do, agreed to be a surrogate for Kamala Harris to go do some of these interviews. It ended really badly. I don't think she anticipated getting real questions from the media. If you listen to this, if we had actual real questions asked of Democrats, and heck, ask them of Republicans too, please do. This country would be in such a much better place. And watching NBC News ask actual questions of Gretchen Whitmer when she's acting as a stand-in for Kamala Harris really was something to behold, because guess what? She couldn't answer them. She looked deer in the headlights halfway through. Take a listen.
When she ran in 2020, you will recall she called for banning fracking, supporting single-payer health care, eliminating private health insurance. The campaign says she no longer supports those positions. The Trump campaign, though, is calling her a chameleon. Do you think that Vice President Harris needs to do more to explain why she has shifted on those positions?
Well, any, I think, insult from the Trump campaign is laughable when you think about his years in office and who he fought for.
That's all she's got. I'd play you more, but she never addresses the flip-flop on any position. You can't. There's nothing you could say. It doesn't matter how good you are on your feet. You can't explain changing every position that you held 3 and 4 years ago. Every position that you've held in the last 5 years, except maybe on abortion. So they send poor Whitmer out there. I don't know how many more of these interviews she's going to do where she stands in for Kamala. Not if there's real questions. But she's asked about the price controls and says, just ignore that. We're all reading too much into it.
Among other things, she's proposing a ban on price gouging. Here is what Obama administration economist Jason Furman had to say. He said, quote, this is not sensible policy. And I think the biggest hope is that it ends up being a lot of rhetoric and not reality. There's no upside here. And there is some downside. He warned effectively that price controls could ultimately stifle economic growth. So do you think that's the best way to bring down prices in Michigan?
Well, I think people are reading too much into what has been put out there.
You're just reading too much into it. So, you know what? Don't ask for details, okay? That'd be good. Just go ahead, vote for Kamala. Yeah, we'll get you the details later. When? Oh, yeah, weeks from now after the voting started, or maybe not even then. Who is the real Kamala Harris? Folks, this is chilling. Go, if you're going to watch one thing with all of this, go on my Twitter at Tara Servatius and watch this video. You scroll down a little bit. And this is her less than 5 years ago, since 2020. You can, her eyes, her voice, her cadence is not what they've trained her up to right now. This is the real Kamala Harris, what I'm about to play for you. And this is going to chill you. And when you hear this, you can only conclude one thing. Some Republicans came out over the weekend saying, oh, we're too tough on her. Trump's too tough on her. You know, he needs to back off, stop calling her a communist. No, I think he needs to double and triple down. We need to be tougher on her because this is who she really is. We will snatch your business. Yes, we can. Yes, we can. This clip should be played over and over and over in Trump's commercials. Her face looks scary, crazy, and angry. Again, this is only 2020 when she's running for president.
I will snatch their patent so that we will take over. And yes, we can do that. Yes, yes, we can do that. Yes, we can do that. The question is, do you have the will to do it? I have the will to do it.
That's it. That's her. That's who she is. Right there, that 18 seconds. She sounds nuts. Can you hear the nuts in her voice? You can hear it. She's crazy. She's also a communist. That's what communists do. They take people's businesses. That's the real Kamala Harris. Do you hear the hate there? The superiority, the entitlement of a woman who has never held a private sector job, but she's going to snatch their businesses, she says. Go watch her face, because I can't show you that. Go watch, because this is radio. Go watch her face as she says it. It will chill you. And then ask yourself, the Lindsey Graham interview over the weekend, Trump's being too mean to her. I don't think we're going hard enough at this woman. Take a listen again.
I will snatch their patent so that we will take over. And yes, we can do that. Yes, yes, we can do that. Yes, we can do that. It's the question is, do you have the will to do it? I have the will to do it.
So then what does Whitmer tell us? Oh, don't worry, man. Nah, I said you guys are just you're just taking too much out of this price control thing. She is not gonna do anything crazy or radical like take people's patents, take their business. Yes, we can. And you can even hear in the background somebody in the Democrat office, Democrat audience, because this is 2020, she's running in the primary for president, saying, you can't just take people's patents. I mean, you can't just go take their business. Yes, we can. She says, yes, we can. I have the will to do it. That's the real Kamala Harris. It is disturbing. It's not only disturbing, it's jarring to watch it because you don't see that side of her personality when she's out there cackling and laughing. And the way that she talks now, that's who she really is. And that's why she has to change. She has to change everything she believes because it doesn't work. And that's why she can't tell you right now what she stands for. She's going to wait until after the voting starts in the swing states.
So in the weeks to come, I will address in greater detail my plans to build an opportunity economy.
Yeah, sure. Weeks to come. Again, the early voting ballots go out on the 5th of September in North Carolina. When you look at look, folks, if you listen to my Battleground America podcast, if you listen to the show, but especially if you listen to Battleground America, this is exactly what I said they would do. Exactly. I said they're going to have to switch Joe out because they cannot discuss their policies. They are at the radical part of their agenda where they cause people a lot of pain because their goal is to eliminate the middle class, as Marx instructed them to do. They are Marxists. This is what they are doing. You cannot answer questions when your goal is the destruction of the middle class and inducement of mass poverty and government dependence. That is the part of their agenda they are at. All you can do is switch candidates out at the last moment. Again, I told you in December exactly what week they'd do it and that Joe would go. Why? You need a new candidate who can come in and distract, play games, run around, have anything be the subject that is discussed except what their agenda and their record is. Think about this, folks. Pennsylvania, early voting, when does it start? On the 16th of September, less than a month from now. In Arizona, when does it start? The 9th of October. When's it start in Virginia? 20th of September. When's it start in Georgia? The 15th of October. So they're going to do whatever it takes to distract. And that's the thing. That's why you want to switch your candidate out as late as they did. Run down the clock. Go as far as you can and as long as you can without discussing substantive issues as you bank the votes so people don't know what you want to do. Well, what was amazing over the weekend was how widely Kamala Harris's only economic plan, which was, hey, we're just going to crack down on these grocery stores. Her only economic plan was trashed by the media, by the left, which normally you would expect would just, you know, show up. Whatever she proposes is the greatest thing, even if it's exactly what Trump proposed and you trashed him for it. Doesn't matter. Now it's the best ever. They didn't do that. Some of the headlines over the weekend, like this one, Washington Post, liberal Washington Post. The Times demands serious economic ideas. Harris supplies gimmicks. That was one of the headlines. Here's another one, Washington Post, from their opinion section. When your opponent calls you communist, maybe don't propose price controls. So this hit with a big thud. The media's saying to her, you can't tell them what we think. What are you doing? You can't tell them the truth. Make something up. We're trying to help you dodge. Don't tell them what you're going to do. There was grave alarm over her telling them what they want to do. I mean, folks, take a listen. This is PBS, okay? This is a conversation between two Washington Post reporters and a New York Times reporter on PBS. Take a listen to how this went. They're talking about her price gouging proposal.
The price gouging is just, well, Catherine Rampell, the Washington Post columnist and NewsHour contributor, said it's impossible to exaggerate how bad this policy is. And I agree with that. And Catherine had a good line that if your opponent is calling you a communist, maybe don't lead with price controls. And so price controls just create shortages that create black markets. We've seen it happen in Venezuela. We've seen it happen in the Soviet Union. Price controls just don't work. What's worse about that, first, it's trying to address a problem that does not exist. Grocery prices, inflation has been less than 1% for the past year. It's over. We had a surge, but it's over. The problem does not exist. But the real core problem is it expresses a level of economic illiteracy, which is kind of surprising in a responsible Democratic candidate.
That was the only untrue part at the end, responsible Democrat candidate. That's David Brooks with the Washington Post. Unbelievable. Didn't go much better for her at CNN. This could be a segment on this show.
It's going to be some bureaucrat in D.C., which seems like totally unworkable, first of all, for the FTC to be deciding like how much Kroger charges for eggs in Michigan. But it also would be very bad for markets. We've seen this kind of thing tried in lots of other countries before, Venezuela, Argentina, the Soviet Union, etc. It leads to shortages. It leads to black markets. And beyond that, the specific way this bill is written might actually increase prices.
Wow. Just wow. So this did not make them happy. And I think they just don't want it out there, what they're planning to do. I think they want it to be a surprise. And CNN, shockingly, I mean, if we had reporting like this every day in this country, we could save this country. On both sides. Hit both sides with this. Because CNN was absolutely brutally honest. And her proposals they were walking them back by the end of the weekend. Take a listen to this. This is CNN saying, hey, look, we know what this price gouging or gauging, as Kamala Harris called it this weekend. She called it price gauging. And she didn't correct herself the first time she read it off the teleprompter. You know what that tells us? You know how Joe for many years has told us, they tell me I have to this, they tell me I have to that. He tells us he answers to them, whoever they are running his administration, which is now very clear somebody else is running it. Well, I'm not sure that these same people aren't running Kamala. Price gauging? Look, I misspeak regularly on this show, but I correct myself. She didn't seem to know she was pronouncing it wrong. Price gauging. We'll get into that in a little bit. No, you're price gouging. Your policy, price gouging. Somebody else wrote that for her, put that in her mouth. And whoever it is in trouble with the Democrats because you weren't supposed to say what you were going to actually do. Listen to CNN saying, hey, listen, we know what this price gauging or gouging legislation would look like because it's already filed by liberal Senator Elizabeth Warren in the Senate, and it's not going to work, says who? CNN.
The particular way that this is written, which is likely to be the template for any proposal that Harris would eventually embrace, is especially bad in that it just bans excessive prices, grossly excessive prices, grossly excessive profit margins, and says that the Federal Trade Commission can use any metric it deems appropriate to decide what that would mean, which basically says, like, it's not going to be markets, it's not going to be supply and demand that's determining how much your grocery store charges you for milk or for eggs. It's going to be some bureaucrat in D.C., which seems like totally unworkable, first of all, for the FTC to be deciding, like, how much Kroger charges for eggs in Michigan.
Yeah. Again, that could have been Fox News. That was CNN. This was a disaster for her. It was a disaster for Gretchen Whitmer, too. I don't know how much longer Whitmer is going to act as a surrogate. She can't answer these questions. Nobody can. About what they're going to do. And I explained this on Friday. I'm going to get back into it. This is a bid by the Democrats to take over the supply chains that I've been forecasting for 2 years. Since 2022, when the New York Times revealed what they intended to do. They intend to use the Lever Act to seize control of food and fuel delivery systems. And that is what this is part of. And I think the media is just frustrated, not that she intends to do it, but that she actually told folks beforehand. We'll have more on that coming up. Well, Caitlin Clark is straight, white, and refuses to swear allegiance to woke. Thus, she had to be buried during the Olympics, couldn't participate. Tried the best they can to beat her, foul her, and generally shove her out of the way in the WNBA. Despite all of that, Caitlin Clark just broke the WNBA rookie assist record. She's breaking attendance records, surpassing Tisha Panichiro's rookie assist record. So she's beginning to rack up these records in basketball as they try to figure out what to do with her. And look, she could make the pain stop anytime. All she has to do is come out and swear allegiance to woke. And they leave her alone. But she won't do it. She refuses to get political to the right or to the left. And so the beatdown continues as despite all that, she doesn't let her get in her head and continues to break records. If she'd come out and sworn allegiance to woke, she'd have been on that Olympic team. She deserved to be on it. Just given the record she shattered in college. Everybody's saying, well, it's the WNBA. She's not going to break records. Well, here she goes, breaking records. Unbelievable. All right, let's jump on the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line, 71307. Texture writes, good morning. They are controlling her. That's why they picked her, because she's controllable. She's just happy to be there. Price gauging. I've got the audio. I'm going to play it coming up. She's going to fight price gauging, she says. Look, I get it. You talk a lot. She is talking a lot now. You stumble over your words sometimes. I do it all the time. But I correct myself. She didn't seem to realize the first time she read it off the prompter that she's fighting price gouging.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, what was amazing over the weekend was how widely Kamala Harris's only economic plan, which was, hey, we're just going to crack down on these grocery stores. Her only economic plan was trashed by the media, by the left, which normally you would expect would just, you know, show up. Whatever she proposes is the greatest thing, even if it's exactly what Trump proposed and you trashed him for it. Doesn't matter. Now it's the best ever. They didn't do that. Some of the headlines over the weekend, like this one, Washington Post, liberal Washington Post. The Times demands serious economic ideas. Harris supplies gimmicks. That was one of the headlines. Here's another one. Washington Post, from their opinion section. When your opponent calls you communist, maybe don't propose price controls. So this hit with a big thud. The media is saying to her, you can't tell them what we think. What are you doing? You can't tell them the truth. Make something up. We're trying to help you dodge. Don't tell them what you're going to do. There was grave alarm over her telling them what they want to do. I mean, folks, take a listen. This is PBS, okay? This is a conversation between two Washington Post reporters and a New York Times reporter on PBS. Take a listen to how this went. They're talking about her price gouging proposal.
The price gouging is just, well, Catherine Rampell, the Washington Post columnist and NewsHour contributor, said it's impossible to exaggerate how bad this policy is. And I agree with that. And Catherine had a good line that if your opponent is calling you a communist, maybe don't lead with price controls. And so price controls just create shortages that create black markets. We've seen it happen in Venezuela. We've seen it happen in the Soviet Union. Price controls just don't work. What's worse about that, first, it's trying to address a problem that does not exist. Grocery prices, inflation has been less than 1% for the past year. It's over. We had a surge, but it's over. The problem does not exist. But the real core problem is it expresses a level of economic illiteracy, which is kind of surprising in a responsible Democratic candidate.
That was the only untrue part at the end, responsible Democrat candidate. That's David Brooks with the Washington Post. Unbelievable. Didn't go much better for her at CNN. This could be a segment on this show.
It's going to be some bureaucrat in D.C., which seems like totally unworkable, first of all, for the FTC to be deciding like how much Kroger charges for eggs in Michigan. But it also would be very bad for markets. We've seen this kind of thing tried in lots of other countries before: Venezuela, Argentina, the Soviet Union, etc. It leads to shortages. It leads to black markets. And beyond that, the specific way this bill is written might actually increase prices.
Wow. Just wow. So this did not make them happy. And I think they just don't want it out there what they're planning to do. I think they want it to be a surprise. And CNN, shockingly, I mean, if we had reporting like this every day in this country, we could save this country. On both sides. Hit both sides with this. Because CNN was absolutely brutally honest. And her proposals could, they were walking them back by the end of the weekend. Take a listen to this. This is CNN saying, hey, look, we know what this price gouging or gauging, as Kamala Harris called it this weekend. She called it price gauging. And she didn't correct herself the first time she read it off the teleprompter. You know what that tells us? You know how Joe for many years has told us, they tell me I have to this, they tell me I have to that. He tells us he answers to them, whoever they are running his administration, which is now very clear somebody else is running it. Well, I'm not sure that these same people aren't running Kamala. Price gauging? Look, I misspeak regularly on this show, but I correct myself. She didn't seem to know she was pronouncing it wrong. Price gauging. We'll get into that in a little bit. No, you're price gouging. That's your policy. Your policy, price gouging. Somebody else wrote that for her, put that in her mouth. And whoever it is in trouble with the Democrats because you weren't supposed to say what you were going to actually do. Listen to CNN saying, hey, listen, we know what this price gauging or gouging legislation would look like because it's already filed by Liberal Senator Elizabeth Warren in the Senate, and it's not gonna work, says who? CNN.
The particular way that this is written, which is likely to be the template for any proposal that Harris would eventually embrace, is especially bad in that it just bans excessive prices, grossly excessive prices, grossly excessive profit margins, and says that the Federal Trade Commission can use any metric it deems appropriate to decide what that would mean, which basically says, like, it's not going to be markets, it's not going to be supply and demand that's determining how much your grocery store charges you for milk or for eggs. It's going to be some bureaucrat in D.C., which seems like totally unworkable, first of all, for the FTC to be deciding, like, how much Kroger charges for eggs in Michigan.
Yeah. Again, not that could have been Fox News. That was CNN. This was a disaster for her. It was a disaster for Gretchen Whitmer, too. I don't know how much longer Whitmer is going to act as a surrogate. She can't answer these questions. Nobody can. About what they're going to do. And I explained this on Friday. I'm going to get back into it. This is a bid by the Democrats to take over the supply chains that I've been forecasting for 2 years. Since 2022, when the New York Times revealed what they intended to do. They intend to use the Lever Act to seize control of food and fuel delivery systems. And that is what this is part of. And I think the media is just frustrated, not that she intends to do it, but that she actually told folks beforehand. We'll have more on that coming up. Well, Caitlin Clark is straight, white, and refuses to swear allegiance to woke. Thus, she had to be buried during the Olympics, couldn't participate. Tried the best they can to beat her, foul her, and generally shove her out of the way in the WNBA. Despite all of that, Caitlin Clark just broke the WNBA rookie assist record. She's breaking attendance records, surpassing Tisha Panichiro's rookie assist record. So she's beginning to rack up these records in basketball as they try to figure out what to do with her. And look, she could make the pain stop anytime. All she has to do is come out and swear allegiance to woke. And they leave her alone. But she won't do it. She refuses to get political to the right or to the left. And so the beatdown continues as despite all that, she doesn't let her get in her head and continues to break records. If she'd come out and sworn allegiance to woke, she'd have been on that Olympic team. She deserved to be on it, just given the record she shattered in college. Everybody's saying, well, it's the WNBA. She's not going to break records. Well, here she goes, breaking records. Unbelievable. All right, let's jump on the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line, 71307. Texture rates, good morning. They are controlling her. That's why they picked her, because she's controllable. She's just happy to be there. Price gauging. I've got the audio. I'm going to play it coming up. She's going to fight price gauging, she says. Look, I get it. You talk a lot. She is talking a lot now. You stumble over your words sometimes. I do it all the time. But I correct myself. She didn't seem to realize the first time she read it off the prompter that she's fighting price gouging, not price gauging. You know what that tells me? That wasn't even her policy. Somebody wrote that for her. Somebody is piloting the ship for her like they did for Biden. Yeah. Unbelievable. Texture writes, good morning, Tara. This text is by no means supporting or defending commie Kamala. There's more context to the clip you played. She was talking about pharmaceutical companies using taxpayer funding to create these patents and then turning around and charging ungodly prices for the product. Too many on the left take things out of context. With us, we do not need to do this. I don't think that's taking things out of context. I just read your clip. Your text. No, there's not. You understand? Oh, because it's a pharmaceutical company. Yeah, she could take their patent and their business. No, she can't. No, she can't. By that logic, the government could take Tesla and SpaceX right now. Anything subsidized by the government through tax breaks or actual action of subsidy, they could go in and take the business. You can't take a patent. It doesn't matter if she's talking about pharmaceuticals or, the Mars rover or Tesla or electric vehicles. I mean, by that logic, they're subsidizing every EV out there. They could just go take Ford. So no, I don't think that is deceptive at all. If it was, I wouldn't have read your text. This is her mentality. We can take any patent. And you heard the clip. She didn't say, we could take any patent if the government subsidized the development of, the EV, the development of the pharmacy. She said, we can take any patent. We can take any business. No, they can't. But that shows her mentality. Well, Caitlin Clark is straight white and refuses to swear allegiance to woke. Thus, she had to be buried during the Olympics, couldn't participate. Tried the best they can to beat her, foul her, and generally shove her out of the way in the WNBA. Despite all of that, Caitlin Clark just broke the WNBA rookie assist record. She's breaking attendance records, surpassing Tisha Panichiro's rookie assist record. So she's beginning to rack up these records in basketball as they try to figure out what to do with her. And look, she could make the pain stop anytime. All she has to do is come out and swear allegiance to woke. And they leave her alone. But she won't do it. She refuses to get political to the right or to the left. And so the beatdown continues as, despite all that, she doesn't let her get in her head and continues to break records. If she'd come out and sworn allegiance to woke, she'd have been on that Olympic team. She deserved to be on it, just given the record she shattered in college. Everybody's saying, it's the WNBA. She's not going to break records. Well, here she goes, breaking records. Unbelievable. All right, let's jump on the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line, 71307. Texture rates, good morning. They are controlling her. That's why they picked her, because she's controllable. She's just happy to be there. Price gauging. I've got the audio. I'm going to play it coming up. She's going to fight price gauging, she says. Look, I get it. You talk a lot. She is talking a lot now. You stumble over your words sometimes. I do it all the time. But I correct myself. She didn't seem to realize the first time she read it off the prompter that she's fighting price gouging, not price gauging. You know what that tells me? That wasn't even her policy. Somebody wrote that for her. Somebody is piloting the ship for her like they did for Biden. Yeah. Unbelievable. Texter writes, good morning, Tara. This text is by no means supporting or defending commie Kamala. There's more context to the clip you played. She was talking about pharmaceutical companies using taxpayer funding to create these patents and then turning around and charging ungodly prices for the product. Too many on the left take things out of context. With us, we do not need to do this. I don't think that's taking things out of context. I just read your clip. I mean, your text. No, there's not. You understand? Oh, because it's a pharmaceutical company. Yeah, she could take their patent and their business. No, she can't. By that logic, the government could take Tesla and SpaceX right now. Anything subsidized by the government through tax breaks or actual action of subsidy, could go in and take the business. You can't take a patent. It doesn't matter if she's talking about pharmaceuticals or, you know, the Mars rover or Tesla or electric vehicles. I mean, by that logic, they're subsidizing every EV out there. They could just go take Ford. So no, I don't think that is deceptive at all. If it was, I wouldn't have read your text. This is her mentality. We can take any patent. And you heard the clip. She didn't say, well, we could take any patent if the government subsidized the development of, you know, the EV, the development of the pharmacy. She said, we can take any patent. We can take any business. No, they can't. But that shows her mentality.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.